Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Matthew 7:7-11. If you are a person who struggles with sin, or with finances, or relationships, or with one relationship, or if you have lost loved ones, or unfulfilled dreams, or uncured sickness, or if you want to see our church grow, or if you're young or old or in between, or a man or a woman or a child, if you need more faith, if you desire to be pure in heart, if you want to be like Christ, this is a sermon and a passage for you. If you're anybody that I didn't talk about, this sermon is also for you. What are we told by Jesus to pray for? Point one, what to pray for? Good things. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts or good things to those who ask him? I think it's wonderful that the Father, or Jesus tells us that the Father would give good things to those who ask him. The phrase "good things" is broad terminology. It includes spiritual things, but it also includes material things. It ultimately refers to anything which could truly be called good. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." The best things, heavenly things, would certainly be included in this general definition that Jesus has of good things. There are certain things that we desperately need, and we're told we need them. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." We started this sermon series with that verse. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And "blessed are the poor in spirit" refers to people who are spiritually bankrupt. And you can say, "Well, Pastor, we're all spiritually bankrupt. And that's true. Everybody is spiritually bankrupt until they find Christ. And yet Jesus here is specifically speaking about those who realize that they're spiritually bankrupt. They know that they lack spiritually, that they're poor in spirit, and they understand that. And such people who really are spiritually bankrupt and feel it in their hearts, they ask and they seek and they knock because they know they have a need for these spiritual things. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven means we will be supplied with such blessings from that very place, the kingdom of heaven. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." There's a storeroom, a supply of heavenly blessings that God has just waiting for us to pray for and ask for. And the poor in spirit person knows that he has need of those things, and he asks and he seeks and he knocks. And he receives. The kingdom of heaven is his. It belongs to him. It is his supply. And so we're told to ask and seek and knock and know that those good things the Father has for us. Among those blessings that we desperately need is righteousness, which we lack. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst." Hungering and thirst means you don't have it. You're dying for it. You want it desperately. "Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Again, here we're told to ask and to seek and to knock. And he who seeks will find. He who asks, it'll be given to him. He who knocks, the door will be opened. And those things we need. You know, if you're going through your Christian life and you're struggling with sin, you don't have that righteousness, sin, you pray to God, it says God will give that to you. These best heavenly kingdom of God things are the things that we're to seek first. Matthew 6:33 said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." This matches the Lord's Prayer. You know, God's name is to be hallowed. That's first, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done, before we pray for our daily bread or for our own forgiveness of sins. We're to seek God's kingdom first and heavenly things first. The prayer for the heavenly kingdom, though it's our priority and it should take most of our time and our effort, the prayer for our heavenly kingdom and things of heaven can mix with the earthly. And often I think it helps our earthly prayers if we mix it. We see this with Hannah in the Old Testament. She wanted a child. And I think she probably had prayed for that child before she thought to give the child to the Lord, and she didn't get an answer to that prayer. And then in 1 Samuel 1, starting with verse 11, she makes a vow to God as she prays. It says, "Then she made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head.'" She's dedicating her son before he's even born, before he's even conceived, to the Lord, because she wanted a child so desperately. And finally she got to the point where she said, "I'm going to put the kingdom of heaven here first. I'm going to dedicate this child to the Lord before he's even born. I'm going to give him up to a priest. He's going to not be mine. He's going to be the Lord's boy." And the prophet Samuel was born out of that. And yet not only was her prayer answered with Samuel, but seeing as she prayed that way, God did exceedingly abundantly above all that she would have asked, and gave her more children. 1 Samuel 2, verse 21 says, "And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord." And so she had 5 more children. God blessed her with after Samuel. This means we can pray for material things, for healings, for a great variety of big and small good things. We should pray for the best things, the spiritual things, the heavenly things, the kingdom of God things first. But we can also pray for the rest. If they're good things, if they're according to God's will, we can pray for them. When we look at Luke's account of this prayer, and I believe Jesus probably preached this sermon more than one time, and he made it a little different. We have a different account in Matthew than in Luke, but I believe he preached it more than once. And in Luke's prayer, it's not for a thing at all, but it's for a person, a divine person. He says in Luke 11:13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And, you know, whenever you give a gift to somebody you love, or somebody who loves you gives you a gift, part of what they're giving is themselves, isn't it? They're giving themselves to you, especially people extremely close to you. And when God gives us gifts, he also gives us himself, in that we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We have God in us. And so there's nothing more God can give than giving himself. The greatest gift, the greatest answer to prayer, is the giver who himself gives. In Revelation 21:3, it says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be their God." When Jesus teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, he teaches us to pray, "Our Father in heaven." He is ours. He belongs to us. The Holy Spirit is given to us. Why? Because what Christ did on the cross paid the penalty for our sin. We were washed in his blood. We were made clean. And now the Holy Spirit can dwell in this clean temple. And we can ask even for God to dwell in us, even for the Holy Spirit. And so these are some of the good things, and also a good person or persons we can pray to have with us. But secondly, how are we to pray? Well, first, with a level of fervency. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. When I read these verses, the impression I get is, you know, I've had people knock on my door this way. Boom, 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 boom. And sometimes they knock like that. You don't hear it at all. And sometimes they knock boom, 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 boom. And when they knock it that loud, you hear it wherever you are in the house. And if you don't hear it, they keep knocking. And maybe even louder than their loud knock. And that's what a fervent prayer is to God. It's a loud knock. It shows that we're desperate. We're hungering and thirsting, as it says, for righteousness. We need him to open the door. My cat, when he wants food, meow, 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 meow. He's crying. He's praying to me. Food, 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 food. And I have to give it to him. It's a fervent prayer. And James 5:16 says, "The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And yet, even more important than fervency is faith. We need to trust that God is good and that he desires and is able to answer our prayers. Note the faith encouraging aspects of Christ's teaching here in Matthew 7. First, he says, answered prayer works for everyone. He says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. And so you don't have to be Mr. Super Saint. You don't have to be Elijah. You know, it says in that James 5, it says, Elijah was a man with like passions as we have. And I think that there's a reason it says that. The reason is because when you look at Elijah, he prayed for fire to come down from heaven, and it came down. And we think, that's a powerful man, a powerful prayer, an extraordinary person. But James says he was just like us. What was different? He had faith. He knew God. He knew his God was big and his God can do great things. And he really believed that God was able to hear his prayers. It wasn't that Elijah was different. It was Elijah had a different, a powerful view of God. He had faith that God could and would answer his prayer. And here it says, for everyone, from the weakest saint to the strongest saint, if you ask, if you seek, if you knock. Now, sometimes we have to knock. God wants us to be fervent. And, you know, later I'll talk about that more. He wants to build a relationship with us. And sometimes he wants us to know and pray for something for a while because he's training us to pray. Or it's not his time for us to have that particular thing. And he wants us, like Hannah, to figure, hey, I need to not just ask for that thing that I want. I need to dedicate my future son to the Lord and put that in my prayer. But whatever it is, we are encouraged to pray. We are encouraged that if we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, it will be opened. Trust your heavenly Father to be better than your earthly father. Matthew 7. 9 through 11, it says, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, see, you who are evil, we're all sinners. And yet we care for our children. For most of my dad's life, he wasn't a Christian. I'd talk to him about Christ and he'd get mad at me. But my dad, even as a non-believer, if I think of it, if I asked him for something, I can't think of any time he ever really denied me or wasn't willing to help me. My dad was maybe not the greatest father, but he wasn't a bad father either. And he gave me what I wanted. And this is what it's saying here. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, I'm not perfect, and I've been very kind with my children and would give them what they want if they asked. And here, your heavenly Father, how much more will your Father is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We need to make that comparison in our minds. Say, if my Father was good to me, so much more are my heavenly Father. So God's goodness, his readiness to answer prayer, is more important to the answer of prayer than powerful fervency in prayer. If we're looking at ourselves and saying, I need to be more fervent, I need to cry more, I need to put more passion in this prayer, I'm not saying there's things wrong with that, but that's not where we're going to find our answers. Our answer is in faith in the Father. And when we have faith that he is going to answer our prayers, the more we trust that that's the case, the more fervent our prayers will be, because we really, really believe. The more we understand God's goodness and his readiness to answer prayers to our benefit, as I said, the more fervent our prayers will be. Thirdly, the real power and purpose of prayer is our relationship with the Heavenly Father, with Christ, and with God, the Holy Spirit. As he says in verse 11, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? All through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching us about our Father in heaven, how we should trust him, how we should obey him, how we should know that he sees even the thoughts that we have, our sin thoughts, sinful thoughts. And as I thought of Matthew 7:11, the convenience store, 7-Eleven, came to mind. And I still remember, I'm old enough to remember when that store was first, started. And I remember, however old I was, I don't remember how old exactly I was. I was fairly young. And I remember thinking how great that is. You can go there and get gas, you can get snacks, it was truly what it says it is, truly a convenience store. It was there, so if you go into a store like Publix, you might have to walk to the very back of the store to get something, and you'd get it for a lesser price at a store like Publix or Walmart. But if you go to 7-Eleven, you get it faster, and if you needed it quickly, you could go there and get it quickly. And I remember thinking how neat that was. It was a store that you could say had everything. They really don't have everything, but they had food, they had gas, they had a little bit of everything. But the best part for us, we have a heavenly store, and our Father is the owner of it. Can you imagine if your dad owned the 7-Eleven and he owned everything in it, and you were a child and you wanted some candy? You could go in there and instead of buying it, he probably would give it to you. And our Father in heaven owns everything. Psalm 50, verse 10 and 11 says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Well, if they are his and he is ours, then they are ours too. Whatever we need. Yet going to the store your Father owns, you do not only go for those things, you go to see your Father. Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And when we go to God for anything, whether it be spiritual things, whether it be material things, ultimately, we're always going for our relationship with him as well. We're going to see him. We're going to talk to him. If I were to go, and both my parents are gone now, but if I, as a younger person, were to go to my mom and dad and just ask for money or ask for something, they would not like that. They would. I always went to them knowing that I went to them first and went for them to have a relationship with them. And this, God is the same way. He wants us to go for him. Whenever we read the Bible, when we pray, when we hear a sermon, when we take part in a Bible study, we should always think of these as opportunities to get to know God better. This should be our great priority. Jeremiah 9:23-24 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. If we start knowing more and more about God, we will pray better. We will be stronger Christians. If all these other things, even heavenly things, will be added to us. God wants us to be wholehearted, to be fervent about seeking him. As it says in Jeremiah 29, starting with verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. You know, some people, if they wanted to get to know you better, it wouldn't be to your advantage. They would be nasty people who are just trying to use you. But with God, it's always to our advantage to know him better. That's why he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Even when we're going through hard times, you know, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. He's brought those into our life so that we can be on our knees, so that we will pray, and so we'll get closer to him, to give you a future and hope. Then he says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. There, God is promising his listening ear in whatever circumstance you are in. And then he says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. There are many churches, I think, where they put it out there that you can have a relationship with God, and then they have an altar call and somebody comes up and the pastor prays with them and even prays for them and says, now you have Christ. Now, did that person seek with all his heart or her heart? Well, I don't know. But to me, it seems seeking with all your heart is something maybe even daily and constant and regular, and we're always seeking. It's not a one-time up and then never come to church again thing, for sure. Seeking with all your heart means you're wholehearted about seeking God. And that is something, God, that is good for us. You know, it says in Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. But if that's true about finding a wife, he who finds God and Christ has his favor for everything. 1 John 5:11-12 says, and this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son does not have life. We have the Father in heaven as our Father. We have Christ as our life. We have the Holy Spirit who we pray for. And I believe that doesn't mean just that we pray once and then we receive the Holy Spirit in our salvation. But we should pray constantly for the Holy Spirit's ministry and presence and power in our lives. And so we pray for these things. We pray for good things, and we pray for those that aren't things, that are persons, that are even divine persons to be in our lives. That's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for these teachings of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He teaches us to pray. He teaches us to ask and to seek and to knock and to do so fervently and to do so with faith, believing, Father, that you answer, that you are better even than our earthly fathers, especially better than the bad earthly fathers, if anybody had that. You are ready to give and ready to provide. And Father, we thank you for this passage in Matthew, which not only says you're ready to give, but you're ready to give good things. And it's not defined. It doesn't say good things is this and this and this, but not this. Good things is whatever is ultimately good for us, meaning spiritual things, material things, any kind of good thing. And so, Father, we thank you that we can pray for all these things and know that you hear and answer. And Father, we thank you mostly that you not only answer the prayer in regard to things, but that you are our Father and that you will give us the Holy Spirit and that Christ is ours through faith. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of response is number 634, Sweet.